Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Once in a while, you must know how to redeem your image, whatever it is that happens. So once in a while, you get exasperated, you get tired, you get, and then you calm yourself down again and sort it out. So Jesus dealt with that. Let's see, that's the customer. Then the staff came to come and meet Jesus later. Matthew 17, 18. So he did something, 18. He rebuked the demon, it came out. Child was cured from that very hour. Next verse. Then disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Oga, why couldn't you finish that job?" What did he tell them? He said, "Because of your unbelief." So Christ was dealing with the staff and with the customers, clients at the same time, that kind of thing. How many of you never gotten angry at work? Can I see your hands up? You never gotten angry at the customer? Can I see your hands up? All of you are looking like angels before. How many of you never gotten angry before? See, if I said, how many of you have gotten angry, you won't put up your hands. You know, oh, glory to Jesus. All right, like I was coming in this morning now, you know, I got there, they said, they are using generator. I said, why are you using generator? They said, you know, because yesterday it was rain, the inverter is down, and I have told my to them, they are coming for this service, they are not paying anything for this service. They come over and eat food again. And then we're not going to, you know, you're going to do that again. And I was getting angry, so I calmed myself down. And I don't say that anymore, right? So you have to do that. You have to know how to suit yourself and calm yourself down. Because it's running on diesel. And then you're going to eat at the same time. You're not going to pay anything. All right, you got it? So what do? You just calm yourself down. I go to my office. In fact, when I go to my office, I was thinking, do something else that make it worse. So I stopped. I said, okay, let's just come around and do that. Okay. In fact, but don't drag me here this morning. I shouldn't have come. But he said, I must have this meeting. I don't want to say no to him because he's a member and my friend at the same time, too. I don't like hurting people, so I said, I'll come. So I'm here now, but I must also be nice, all right? And not go berserk. Is that all right? Okay, so that happens to everybody. You just have to kind of calm yourself down, have to hold yourself and be calm and cool. And if you let it go once in a while, sometimes this happens to me. Somebody send me a text or something bugging me. I just give to them. But now I just leave the phone. I don't be watching the phone. Particularly when you are under pressure, people don't know what you are under pressure. The customer is putting pressure upon you, but you have other things to do. People to supply and they say, "Oh no, huh?" People that make loudest noise, those are we don't pay much. But that happens. So what do you do? Just calm down. Just calm down. You know, if it's difficult, go and do cook or something. Is that all right? Do we get that? Okay, we are all human. That happens once in a while. Okay, so we all get that angry. But let me give you, in fact, when I was coming, I wanted to help you today. And I want to give you this one. Why are things so difficult so many times? You see, some of us don't go to the, and I think that I've not done very well in that area to myself. You know, sometimes you think that this is just peculiar to Nigeria, what we are facing now. Do you know that I know you won't believe, but I wish I was not on MC, I can call it off. But you know what? I'm facing troubles of those who left 10 years ago, 15 years ago now. I'm dealing with issues. Uncle Prince over here was abroad. He came to Nigeria out of all that struggle. See, nobody knew when he was leaving, but now he had to face consequences. Thank God he could face that consequence and come over here and establish himself. But some people don't. So, you see, here I'm sitting down here. I was in my bathroom this morning and I was thinking that people that left 50 years ago, 10 years ago, I'm facing the consequences now in their lives. Marital, financial, all kinds of things I never envisaged before, I'm facing them now. And you know what? So that's important. So as we face consequences, as we face things, we people don't know that it's more than just change a job or change a wife or change a country. It's more than that. That's what people don't understand. So as a pastor, I don't come on the pulpit and tell you everything that's going on. You know. So let's look at the root of this all. Genesis 3. Yes, sir. I'm going to the root of it. I'm going under the root of it. What's causing that frustration? Why do we all do? Why? Okay, 21. The story is about. Tell us the story again. 21. Matthew 20. From the beginning to the end. I pay 7 o'clock in the morning. I know that's the story. Then down. And they came at 5 o'clock and they paid them the same amount of money. They work from morning till evening. Just be with me. But let me go to the root of it. Let's go to the root of it. Let's go. Genesis 3. Now, this I want you to see, and this will help you with your frustration in life. I was talking to somebody, you know what? Married, 3 kids abroad, and they are trying to do well. Now they are divorced. The kids are in trouble. Only one working. That's not envisaged before. That's not envisaged before. So this is what you must learn to do. Your frustration has a reason why. Let's go to our Bible, Genesis 3. Look at verse 17. Give us on the screen. This family, all these fans are troubling me. Can I put them off? We don't even need them now. Okay, I should not do this over here. I should just put it off from the wall. Okay, beautiful. Let's go. Verse 6, 17, are you there? And to Adam, please everybody look up here. I want to give you the root of all the trouble. And to Adam, he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil, you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Let's keep on reading. And both thorns and thistles too shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. Next verse, quickly. In the sweat of your face, you shall eat bread to return to the ground, for out of it you are taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. This is the fundamental human frustration that's come to us. It's not your fault. It's not the Tinubu's fault. It's not the continent's fault. It's a fundamental fault that is here. That we struggle, that we will. God gave us work before the fall, but he didn't give us toil. Are you hearing me? Let me say that again one more time. God gave us work before the fall. He told them to work. But there was no toil and sweat with it. Sweat means frustration, not getting the result you are after. Thorns and thistles to growing up. Things not turning out quite well. It is not personal. It is not societal. It's not just continental. It's universal. Things not turning out the way you want to turn out. Anybody over here, things have been turning out the way you want it all these years. Can I see your answer? Thank you. So that is fundamental here. That's why. Listen, everybody, listen to this. That's why you just can't think that just working and be excellent is enough. It can't be enough. Things are working against you. The cause is already here. You don't have to invite the cause. So you will need the blessing to overtake the cause. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Like now, for instance, look at this handkerchief I have over here. There is already the law of gravity on our planet. You see, there's the law of elevation. Plane flying, things moving up. But there's the law of gravity that is permanent here. I drop it, it's coming down. You know what I've done over the years? We have understood the reality of law of gravity and we have worked with it. And when it's against us, nobody in his right mind will take plane and try and take it up without any fuel or any power to elevate inside it. You should be crazy. Are you hearing me? If you are going to get a plane, look at this handkerchief over here now. It's already under the law of gravity. It can go up by itself. For me to think that this will go up by itself without a higher power lifting it up, I must be fooling myself. So fundamentally, I want you to see this, that here is difficult. Here is under the curse. I don't care what you are doing, including pastor's job. On this planet, there is a curse here. I'm going to say, why can't just God? No, it was invited by our forefather, Adam and Eve. And so we are here. Now, somebody said, what is the good news? That Jesus has come to offer us the blessing. So, now, what I need now, see, just because, look up here. When I pick this up by the power of elevation, force of taking it up, it doesn't mean gravity is not still there. Gravity is still exerting its force. If I let it go, it's coming down. That's why a plane crashes. If you know how much fuel is inside every jet that flies, and what they burn, just sometimes you need to go near a plane. Try and just, you don't have to fly, just go down there to Ikeja. And just pass by that tail. You see the heat and the hot air coming out. It can blow you off the ground. So much power. That is moving so easily on the sea. But so much power is expended to make it float. So in the same way, you need so much blessing to overtake this course. Now some of you over here, you've seen me come over here over the years. You've seen me come over and over again. You wonder why I'm not so tired. This is getting fuel. That's the reason why. You know, I don't keep fueling it. Don't think I don't have frustration. Things will happen. Look here. Things going hurry is normal. Things go better is not normal. Do you hear what I just said? Stop saying like that. Things going good is normal. Things going bad is not normal. No, you are wrong. Things going bad is normal. Wait. You know how much it takes for you to preserve your food at home? You cook now, but tomorrow it's already spoiled. Is that not normal? You know it's normal. So you go and buy a freezer. Am I right? You know how much it costs to buy the freezer and power it with fuel or generator or something like that? So if you first of all assume that this place is under a curse and you need to have power of blessing to overcome it, that will change everything. I see, you must embrace. Some of you are not embracing that. You're not embracing. Pastor Tony, but Malosi, Canada. You know, anywhere, go on. This planet, there's gravitation. You don't believe me? Everywhere you go, there's gravitation. So you have to take the power of blessing to really enforce it and get out of it. That's the only thing you can do. But alas, 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 alas. See, many believers won't come over here now sitting like this. They won't listen like this to what I'm talking about now. They'll be somewhere else when trouble comes, pastor, 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 and you must not be hard on them or else they will say you're a bad pastor. Are you hearing me? So what we need to do now is that I've learned to be patient over the years, even with frustration, because it's part of the course. See what happened to me in my younger days. When things go wrong, I go, oh God, oh God. Now, I don't bother anymore. Things must go wrong. To get it right, it requires righteousness. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? And this right blessing doesn't require so much. God is giving us as a gift. Oh, hallelujah. So we have to do more of receiving it now to live here. It's not easy for a human being to put off a lot of things. Let me say that again. Things going bad is normal. Many of you say, I was online on Saturday, making money in dollars. I just laughed. You know why I just laughing? You make it in dollars, you spend it also in dollars. Because when they sell things over here, it's going up in dollars. Not true? Don't let us fool ourselves. We just think that we are just fooling ourselves. It's making money in dollars. You spend it in dollars too. Because what was $500 two weeks ago is $1,000 now. So what do you think you are making? we don't have to come to reality because we are dazzled by what we see. So look down, look underneath. This place is world of frustration. That's why Solomon, right? Vanity upon vanity. Everything is meaningless here, but you can put many to it by the power of the blessing. Clap your hands for Jesus. You get that? That's why I want you to get hold of blessing more than anything else. How many of you have seen this thing? People that get on the sea and they tie the rope to the boat and then they stay on these things and they move along. Have you seen that thing before? I wish I could show you the picture. But look at me. Is it there? Picture of somebody. Is it ski now? Water ski, water ski. The guy is holding the rope and then there's this person in the boat that's driving it or riding it and then he's sitting on this platform or something and then go like that on water. Fee, fee, fee. Don't forget that it's the rope that's holding it. If not, it's going under the water. Did we get that? So, number one, accept the fact that in this world, you shall have tribulation. Do you know? Let me show you something. Go to that verse again. John 16:33. Let me show you something. I'll help you. So that you know how to use power of choice more than anything else. John 16:33. John 1:6:33. Well, thank you. Quickly. John 1:6:33. John 16:33. Something I want you to see in this verse, while they are looking for it. Uh-huh. Now, please, take a look. You know, some things I say, people don't listen to me. it's difficult. Look at this. These things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. Can you look up See this word. You may and you will. When it comes to tribulation, you will have it. But when it comes to peace, you may. It's your choice. It's your choice. Wherever you go to, you will not have, you still have tribulation. Wherever you go to. But don't let money fool you. You know those who are, Pratito, you know what I'm talking about. You know those who are wickedest most with money are the rich people. They won't pay you, they will cut you, they will do anything. But if you work with the government, you know the same thing. They will do, you know why? Because they are after money. And the more they are, the richer they are, they know that they have to keep this money or else they will come back down to the level where they cannot live anymore. That's why I hate being a rich fool. I don't want to be among those who are rich. They won't pay anybody. They won't do anything. They can't even give. You know, some of these guys, when you go to them like that, they won't give. They won't pay you your work, and they won't give you. You say, but it's Africa. He knows how much he's frustrated with his bank loans. So that is important for us to see. Number one, this place under the cost. Now, anything freely given is difficult for people. They won't accept it. You hear what I just said? You hear what I just said? They did a survey in America. They went to a school. They gave these college boys money. Please listen to this. They gave them money. They said, go down to the town. First of all, first experiment, beg for money. It's college boys. So they went out and they're begging for money. They're begging for money. People are giving them money. Now they said, after that one, pack the money. They said, now go out and start giving up people money on the road. Do you know what happened? People were trying to say, what are you after? Why are you? They are questioning what they were doing. Because they are thinking that there's something behind this. That story you just read, 21 Matthew. You see, those people made noise because they believed that working and skill will get the job done. They are putting time. I went to university for 17 years. Why should I be not getting all the money? Now, Jesus came and gave this, the first will be last will be first. And I said, they came around 5 o'clock and he said, go to work. And one after, he paid them money. Actually, we are the 5 o'clock generation. Are you hearing me? What did I say to you?
I'm 9 o'clock.
Join them. Now, listen. The guy says something over here. He says, if you read the story, he said, I agree with you for $1 per day. 9 o'clock in the morning. Right? And those who I met at 3, 5, 12, 3, 5, 6, they are my, I didn't tell them anything. I didn't agree with them or anything. And out of my generosity of grace, I paid them what I wanted to do. We have agreed. You see, the blessing does not depend on how smart, how great, and how long you have been around. Are you hearing me? That's your problem. You think you don't have experience. You don't have capital. That's why grace doesn't work in your life. By 9 o'clock in the morning, I will have been somewhere. Will have, see, that's how you grade your life. You go, I'm 55 now. See, let hear me. Shut up. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? I'm a baby. I just lost school. But baby, face your life now. Kukuruton Jeffo. I heard before. The ant that is eating vegetables inside vegetable. So you are the one that's contending with yourself now. You're thinking, I'm this, I'm that. You're not receiving free. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Actually, that story was behind, it was coming from 19. End of 19, talking about 100-fold. So, number one, learn this. That the grace of God is available to you. Yes, you have your skill. Yes, you have your experience. Yes, you can talk. But depend more on the grace of God to see you through. Sometimes you go for a job like that and you mess up so bad and they still give you the job. You mess up, you think, man, I'm finished with this job. And they just come and your guys say, You know, sometimes when they owe you money, you think because you work for them, they pay you. The time comes, you can't pay, you say, Lord, please help me get my money. There's money will come. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. So we're talking about grace and God helping you wherever you are. Thank God for your skill, for your training, for your ability. So I'm talking today about that. How do you let God intervene in what you are doing? You should not be living only on what you are getting. God is saying, I can do extra for you. 5 o'clock, you get the same thing that I've been getting since morning. Oh, did you get that? Today, that means those who have been working for 35 years in that experience, and you're working, you can get that. You can get whatever they are getting. I hope I'm getting what I'm saying. That means we can work with the big guys and still make it just like them. Is that okay? Our soul can still do well in spite of all this we've been here for 500 years. Because we can latch on the grace of God. And the employer can distribute to us what we need. Hallelujah. Are we here? You see, I want to get something across to you that it's so difficult to get to Nigerians. Because they believe that they can do something for themselves by changing wife, by changing marriage, by changing location, by changing jobs. They think they're going to be somewhere, and I'm going to laugh at you 30 years' time. Because some people, I'm laughing at them. 30, 30. I'm not laughing at them. I have to encourage them, because if I laugh at them, they say I'm crazy. Like one guy, you know, he thought I didn't want him to be blessed. So he just thought about it. And he said, you're blessed. Then he went around and he suffered. 20 years later, he's talking to me. I won't say, I told you, because you slapped me. You know, like I told you now, some Buddha decided 15 years ago, 10 years ago, I'm dealing with the decisions now, consequence of other decisions. It's not easy at all. So that's why I said that choose on the side of the blessing of God. Like I said yesterday about a prosperous soul, have a belonging to God. I belong to God. I'm not by myself. See, that's why you are frustrated. You are thinking it's all by yourself. You know, you think that's change. Hallelujah. Are we blessed today? Let's go further now. Let me go to chapter 3, verse 11, Proverbs. Let's go down there now. Let me show you now. Now, in the midst of this cost, in the midst of these troubles in our world today, how do you live your life as a child of God? How do you prosper in your business? Take a look at this screen. Are you there? Now, see, what I'm going to quote now, I want you to look at it. What's this verse is quoting? My son, do not what? Despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest what? It's correction. Next verse. For whom the Lord love, he what? And next one. You see, many of you think that this business is your own. And then you are running it by yourself. And you have experience and capital. But no, the Lord is your coach. When you came to Christ, when you accepted Christ as a Lord and Savior, you are transferring your life allegiance to him. You are saying to him, my life is in your hand, and he's going to take you. That word correct means to discipline and to train. He's going to use all that he has, whatever you are doing, to make you better. Somebody clap your hands for Jesus. Wherever you find yourself, whatever you are doing, now his contention, his biggest contention with your life is you and money. You have two gods on this planet, God and dollar. Why? Because we are living in a monetized economy where if you don't have the money, you are doomed. You know, the devil is so smart. The devil knows that creating so many gods, people will have problems. He has Obatala, Osun, Boya. So he now said, let's just have only one, money. Against God. And money is universal. Obatala is not universal. And money can make us sad, can make us angry, can make us kill, can make us steal. Am I right? But God wants to train us and correct us and build us on the way. Pastor, what is correction going to do with my business? Let's go. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy. Chapter 8, Deuteronomy. What's the meaning? What's the essence of that? Quickly. Let's see what we can do. You see, I tell people this. You know what? Every field, you have to learn this. I know pastors who are like you, making noise. Like, things are difficult. You know, you see me walking over here as if I have no problem. I just come in and I walk around, I have no problem. Just walking. You know why? Because I'm already aware that the cost of this planet, and if I'm not having anything that's not going well, I just need the blessing. I don't try and struggle that in my head. If I want this handkerchief off this table, somebody must grab it and take it up. There's no amount of analyzing, categorizing, psychologizing it that is on the pulpit. Let's go. Chapter 8, verse 1. Now, please, everybody follow. Everybody listen to this. Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to what? Observe. Why? That you may live. How many I want to live? And what? And multiply. And what? And go in and possess the land. See, God is saying, what I'm going to deal with you is not how smart, how experienced, how capitalized you are. I want to use my commandment to help you live and multiply. Let's keep reading. Now, look at next verse. And please look up here. Can you look up, everybody? And you shall remember that the Lord led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to what? And what? And test you to know what was in your heart, whether you keep his commandment. See, when you have some of these rough times and hard times in your life, in your business, actually, God's actually allowing you to watch what you are going to do. Did you hear what I just said? Did you hear me? Why God, in all his infinite loving kindness and tender mercies, allow you to go through what you are going through, some of these things you are facing now? Why? Why? He's allowing you for one reason, to humble. That word means to make you normal. The word humble means to make you normal. And what? And to test you, to know what, how you respond in this thing. I told you before, I said, when they make a new car, they take it to the booth to go and test it. They run it through all kinds of things so that you will see whether the car will do well or not. If that car tumbles, they say, back to the factory. Let's rework on it. Let's look at next verse quickly. What did he say next verse? So look, everybody, read that verse with me. Read that verse with me, everybody. Read that verse with me. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna. Which what? That he might make you to know that man shall not live. See that word? Live, multiply, go in and possess. Live what? By bread, by economy alone. Economy is the biggest challenge now. But man lives by what? We are talking about the word correct, remember? The word correct. Let's go back. Let's keep on reading. Let's keep on reading. Let's keep on reading. Your garment did not wear out on you through sweat for these 40 years. Next verse. Take it. Take it. You should know this in your bones. Are you there? Are you there? That as a man chastens his son, disciplines and trains his son, so the Lord your God disciplines and trains you. So when you enter into this business, it's a land of training. In fact, one of the best ways to train you is to put you in business. If I put you under somebody, why they correct, why they control you, that's all right. You know, you are free. So God said, I want to train you. I want to make you a fully human. I want to make you somebody who can actually do well. And I want to break all your dependence on everything except me. I want to make you some sense. That's the reason why once in a while, he'll move big money to you. So what about, he'll move the money away from you. So that you will not rely on the money. Someone will give you a big customer, someone will give you a small customer. Are you hearing me? That's why, see, children in church, I respect them. God is watching me. You know, you are bigger, you are giving offering. I don't mind, but they're not giving any offering. So, anytime I see those kids say, hey, pastor, I know God is watching me. Let's see what he will do now. And I try to pass the test. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? You're praying, God, send me millionaires to church. And then this one comes that doesn't have any money. What do you do now? See, we face our own orders too. I know you're praying for that big customer. Which one do you get? The one who pay regularly, right? And that will be your training ground. Praise God. Oh, let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. 3 verse 9. So verse 11. Proverbs 3 verse 11 and verse 12. Come, what will be at the end of your life? Can I say this to you? What will your business leave in your life besides karakata? You know what I mean? What will your business leave in your life as legacy? What will you have learned out of it? Just ojeun, oyo, your body be buried and die. What will God do to let your life go through this and you never get any impact in your own life? When I was in university, they used to say this. Some people go to university, but university never go through them. Have you heard that before? That's why today you see people today, they can't speak decent English. They can't even think well. Because they went through universities, you know, at Bole. So what God is after now is that I want to intervene in your life. But the way, see, many of you are thinking of intervention like this. Are you ready? This is intervention. Oh, because oh, what is it? Boga! God give him big business. Oh, yeah, I'm not intervening. Oh, glory to Jesus. Hello. No, his intervention is reshaping, reforming, and making you ready for what he has for you. Where will that be? Stop talking like that. You spend longer time. Any student that is watching Agony School, Ago, can you pass that? Are you hearing me? You have classes now. You get up for every class, you sit down in every class, and you cooperate. If you don't cooperate, you will not come out of that class. You repeat that class. So every class you go to, some classes you don't, I'm afraid some classes you don't like when you're in school. You don't like some classes you don't like mathematics. You don't like some classes. But what do? Oh, nature is or Krumwaik. Are we here? Let's now go back now. Now, what should you do? Now, let me now show you how to get God to intervene positively for you. Are you ready? Back to that. See that? My son, don't despise what? Now, how will you now work with this correction? Look at verse 9. That same chapter, verse 9. Honor the Lord. Hello? Hello? Honor the Lord with what? And with the first fruit of what? All your increase. Next verse. So your barns will be filled with plenty. And your vat. Have you ever wondered why that verse followed by correction? Are you here? Why should God say honor, plenty, and the next verse is correction? So Joramo. Answer me now. So Joramo. Answer me now. I mean, God said, I feel plenty. I want you to take plenty. I'm thinking of what? But I'm for the free job. I won't correct you. But I need something from you. I want your honor. Tell somebody beside you. God wants your honor. When I honor someone, I regard their presence and I defer to them two words. What else? I regard their presence and I defer. Like now, if I honor somebody, I'm sitting down here. When the person enters, I look like this and look away. I look, oh, I regard their presence. Second, they don't have any seat. I defer. Like your mom or your auntie or something. You defer to them. I'm making some sense. I'm making some sense. People don't see God intervene well because at the back of their mind, they're not honoring the Lord. Oh, they may give to God, but they're not honoring him. I know I've lost you now because you're looking for how to get dollars. You that verse again. Let's go back. Verse 9. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all your increase. Next verse. So shall your barns be filled with plenty and your vat will overflow with new wine. Honor. What's the meaning of honor again? Regard and defer. When you honor somebody, you give them due regard. Like your mom come to the house. She didn't go to school as much as you do, as you did. But, mommy, a couple. Till now, my mother, I see the ballet for her. She's my mother. She doesn't have money like I have money. She didn't go to school like I go to school. But you know what? That honor, I give it to her. Then second, when she say, Tunde, then I will sit down and I will listen. Even when I'm not listening, I pretend I'm listening. Are you hearing me? Because I want to honor her. And when she finishes, I will. When she's going back, I will say, Mommy, and I will try and get things for her. And she start praying for me. On purpose, I don't neglect her. You see, when we talk about honoring God, it's just more than giving God money. Why? You're going to have to honor him by regarding him and deferring to him. I know you want to make money. I know you want to run around. But you see, today, like I was saying yesterday, many of us don't make this foundation first. We don't make this foundation first. You are honoring more of money, honoring more of rich people. You see, my phone, when I open my phone in Google, they always bring something, Elon Musk, something rich man. They want me to honor those guys more than I honor God. Are you hearing me, somebody here now? Bible even says, honor your father and your mother. What will happen to you? Just like honoring your father and your mother, what will you get? You don't know. Let's go and see it. Chapter 6, Ephesians, verse 1. When you are children, you obey your parents. But when you are older, you honor them. See the difference? Amen. My mother would say, get up now, go home now. My mother said, go. He said, hey, get on your bed. Now, that time you have to call that. But now, I honor her because almost we are colleagues now, but I defer to her. And I regard her. Let's go. Are we there? Verse 1. Let's children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Next verse. Honor your father and mother, which is the what? First commandment with what? That's the only commandment in the 10 that has a promise attached to it. So you don't do it for doing sake. Like don't bother me for any idol. There's no promise attached to that. Let's look at next verse. That it may be what? Well with you and live long. If you honor your parents properly, you will live well and you will live long. Put that one on the table. But now, how much more if you honor the Lord? Stop honoring God only in church. I'll show you in a minute how to do that. Come and see Matthew 15. If you want God to intervene in your life, you should not put him last. Many of us, when we have trouble, we do everything. Then when we come to say, Oluwa, Ejobulewa, that's putting God last. You start with him. See, you see, that's something he has a pastor in now. As a pastor, I have come to see that people suffer a lot not putting God first. They will do their own things and they waste plenty of time. What are they supposed to open to? I didn't say anything. You didn't hear me. What did I say we should open to? Thank you. What? Matthew what? Okay, let's hear it. Matthew 15, verse 1. Come and see. Then the scribes, Pharisees, who are from Jesus, came to Jesus saying, what did they say to Jesus? What did they say? Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of your elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Let's keep on reading. He answered, said to them, why do you also transgress the what? Because of your tradition. Next verse. For God commanded, saying, honor who? Your father and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. Next verse. I'm talking about father and mother. Says, but you say, whoever says to his father, mother, whatever profit you might receive from me is a gift to God. Mommy, what my phone with the following? That sounds good, Abby. Because the priest will collect the money, gift of God. Let's keep reading. Then you not honor his father and mother. Thus you have made covenant of God of no effect. Look at this verse. This is where I'm going now. Hypocrite. Well, did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, what did he say? These people, they draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart. Pastor, what do you mean by that? See, what you can do church, hallelujah, glory, praise the Lord. But when it comes to the real issues of life, money, customers, client, how to go, where to go, how to live your life, God, you know the idea. Like now, sorry to say this, my mother, I honor her now, but she doesn't have it in my life. I won't call her for cancer. I don't. Are you hearing me? She doesn't have a computer. I can't tell her, but which phone will I buy? She doesn't know anything about that. And that's the way we treat God. Family life, doesn't know anything about that. Business, don't know anything about that. So let's now go now and look at how do you honor God with your possession. Let's go. Luke 5. Verse 1. You know the story. The biggest, like I said again, the biggest, see, I've been saying this over and over, Nigerian Christians don't get it. You cannot just honor God by, you see, you can honor me as a pastor. You do like that, you do like that. You honor church. You enter here, you do like this, you do like this, you enter. You serve in church. But are you really honoring God? Honor the Lord with your substance, with your possessions. Let's go. Look at verse 1. Luke 5, verse 1. Our time is running. So it was multitude press about him to hear what? To hear the word of God that is stood by the lake of Gennesaret. We are looking at divine intervention now. Let's go on. Next verse. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them or washing their net. Next verse, quickly. Then he got to one of the boats, which was Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down. Please look up here. Can you look up here? Can you look up here? What was the instrument of Peter to get fish? Who can tell me? Boat, net, what else? Basket, what else? Partners, right? So, but the biggest of them all are two, the boat and the net. Am I right? Are we here, everybody? Now, Bible said in the morning, Jesus was teaching. As he was teaching, and they were pressing upon him to hear the word of God. You know, it's strange today. It's strange today. People will be sleeping when you are talking, when you are preaching the word of God. They'll be sleeping. They don't honor God. They don't honor God. If God wants to start talking to them, they'll be sleeping. I mean, you get up and wake up and stand up. You know, when I come to church like that, I can see them. You know, I was coming here. I went to go to the toilet, but I suspended it to be here. You know what? I give God that due regard. I cannot go to Aso Rock and my phone rings, I'm talking to the president, and I say, beat up. Tell beer. When he's talking, your phone must not ring. Who are you? In Nigeria, go to Benin. No other word must be in the air except his word. Am I right? But today, we don't know. We talk about Buhari anyhow, Tinubu anyhow. You see, I'm talking about honoring God. He said, they press. Look at verse 1. They press to hear. I can tell you how you do well by the way you hear the word of God. Your mind is flipping. Blah, 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 forget it. You want to hear the truth? You can hear everything on YouTube and how to make dollars. But if you don't honor God, you won't go very far. God himself will block you. You are his child. remember Jonah and Nineveh? Jonah and Sokwe on another country. Am I right? He another country. God blocked him on the way. Now, take a look. You have been working all night. No fish. That means no money. Am I right? And families at home waiting for money. The basket's empty. They go and sell a dokuto, fish. And then somebody said, can I use your boat? What will you tell him? Say, tell about it, you know. You know what? When things are very bad, how do you honor God? We're dealing with issues here this morning. I want to be very plain with you. God is watching you when you lack, when things are difficult, when things are tough. You see, many of us are waiting for God. When I'm comfortable, that I'll do my things. So you're working with God. It's more of comfort, not conviction. Are you hearing me? Do you know why I come here? You see, I can offer this in Lagos with my other speakers and make money. I can. Well, I went to go and talk like this in the bathroom to insurance guys. That guy said to me, the MD said, what are you doing? You should be making money with this. I refuse. You know why? I honor God. I can make money off you neat, but I honor God. I can use all of you for business, but I honor God. And you know why? It's looking down. You know why I'm here this morning? I'm not getting any cobble. I'm not putting anything on the head of anybody here. But you don't know what I get. I won't tell you. Praise God. Are you hearing me? So when you are in bad shape, when things don't work out, how do you honor God? I've gone to a meeting that people are so, 10 of them. And because I honor God, I'll be there. And I'll come back and get $1 million for somewhere else. Money's not my problem. Not because I have billions, no. Money's not my problem. You can ask my wife. Money's not my problem. Just 2 weeks ago, we bought something, $4.5 million for church, for our extra inverter. You didn't hear about it. Money's not our problem. Money's not. I don't mean that I have plenty of money. Money's not. I've come to honor God. You are important because you are the image of God. That's why I'm here this morning. Not because I want to use you as a stepping stone to go somewhere. Am I making some sense? Pastor, no, start honoring God when things are difficult. He said, can I use your boat? What did he do? He said, Lord, have it. He didn't only have the boat, he had Peter too with it. Let's read the verse. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. Now, if you sit in a boat, unlike a car, you move away from the sea. Am I right? And Peter suspended his thinking about his own life, regarding and defining to Christ. And don't forget, what was the atmosphere hearing the word of God? So he entered the boat. He awoke. Jesus, you can't tell you can't do around you. Oh, I've learned this things in my younger days. Remember, I told you, I went to go and preach somewhere. The topic is how to reign in life. How to reign in life, not how to be slave. And I have nothing to eat at home. Will I change my subject? How can I make money off them so I can eat tonight? So what do you do? Honoring God. That means that in bad times, in good times, you are on the side of God. I've seen people that honor God. When things are really scarce, see, your money doesn't have any value until when it's scarce for you. Oh, some people don't know something. See, if you have 5,000 and you give somebody 3,000, that's 60% of the money you have. They may think that, but you know what it costs you. Am I right? It's more precious when it's scarce. Am I correct? Dollar is scarce now. It's more precious. And what did he do? He sat. Now, wait. He didn't just give his boat and walk away. He spent time. He listened all through. He gave God his possession and offered the first fruit of his time to God. Today, say first fruit. People think of first fruit means just your whole salary for the whole year, for the whole month. Am I right? Have you heard that before? They say, what's the first fruit? January salary. What about February? What about March? What about April? Pastors like that because they collect all the money. So bankers in Lagos, generally, they don't go to church. So they come in second month because first month is the past. See, it's all money-minded people. Pastors are no more job. But honoring God. Somebody was telling one time, he said, God said to you, you're not honoring me enough. You're not, this is personal, this is peculiar to you. I can't tell you how you can honor God. The way I honor my mother, it's not the way you honor your mom. You know what will make her. So the same way Jesus was there by the boat, said, Peter, can I use your boat? Peter said, take it. And he stayed with Christ to honor him, his possession, and his own life. Let's look at what happened now. Next verse. And when he has stopped speaking, God said, those who honor me, I will honor them. Did you hear that? If you are not getting honored, check yourself. Hi. Yesterday, I read something in that book I gave to you, 100-fold principle. I had a story of a man in that book. The man was about to preach on the TV. And when he brought his clothes to the studio, he forgot his tie. I'm about to use tie now. And he started looking for tie. Somebody said, take this tie. He said, no. As he was talking, someone said, knock at the door of the studio. Go. What's it? Is Jerry here? He said, yes. He said, he has a tie for you. He said, how come? He said, I was in the store buying things. God said, take this, buy this tie now. And he bought it for himself. God said, head towards studio now. Go and meet Jerry. Drop it for him. He said, God, I've never used this tie. He said, I don't want to take it to him now. At that nick of time, how can you honor God enough to hear God? He got down there at the nick of time, gave the guy the tie. The guy said, wow, praise God. How come? See, you know, if you honor God, he'll tell you what to do. He put on the tie and he had a beautiful time. Now, 2 or 3 years later, himself, are you listening? Himself was now doing some work. He bought some equipment. And he bought these 2 equipment. He just bought them fresh. God said, that one, second one, give it out. He said, God, I've not used it. God said, can I remind you? That tie. That's why today I hate all this going on church about racketing, money racketing. Telling you, bring $10,000, bring $5,000. They're just honoring pastor. They're not honoring God. Because somebody didn't let pastor no, honoring God. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And with the first of all, then your barn will be filled with plenty. Look at what Christ said to you. He said, take boat. Did he give him any money? But what he gave was more than money. He gave his boat and he gave his time and was pushing the thing around. You know what I do every day? You know what I do every day? You know what I do? Every day I wake up to honor God. In substance, because in mouth. Every day I honor God. Every day. Every day. I choose to honor God by helping somebody else. Image of God. Christians and non-Christians. Even to my own sometimes detriment because I'm honoring God. What will he say about me? You know what? Just it's not God of community, not God of RFC. It's God of Nodia Muslim, God of Kemayodili, God of Solai Rile. Is my God. Is he your God? And give him that due regard and that deference. You defer to him. You don't have things anymore for yourself and for your life. It's for him. I must say, Pastor, if I think that way, I will not get anything. Look at what happened to him. Look at next verse. But someone answered and said to him, Master, we have told all night, caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word. You see, when you begin to esteem his word in church like this, you are hearing me now, and then you go back home, you will hear his voice personally to you. You know, people don't hear the voice of God in their life because they don't listen to God's voice in the church and in the Bible. They think Jesus went to Jerusalem and he came back and he saw Peter on the road. Uh-huh. That's all. Are you hearing me? So those who honor God, they will have plenty in their vans. When I say honoring God, I don't mean that you're giving God 1 million, 3 million, 5 million. But I say, where you are, it's very easy when you are doing well to forget God. God warned them. I said, I know you forget me. So, I know you will forget me. That's why when I get anything big like this, the first thing I remember, Oluwa. I don't think about, man, I want to. Because he who brought this for me, he has more in store than I think. One man, I told this story now, he went to Lagos. He went to go and preach in one church in Lagos. And when he got to Lagos, he was wearing this starched clothes. And then when he got to Lagos, before the meeting, the rain fell. And he didn't have a car. When the rain finished with him, the cassava plus the body, they all stick together like that. And he entered the church like a chicken that the rain just finished beating. He was sitting at the back. And the man of God, the pastor that hosted the meeting, didn't know that it was that wet. He just said, Emma, how did you preach? And he came out, see the way he looked in church. You know that. And he started preaching. One woman at the back. Because he said, give him a car. He said, buy him a car. So he came out. When the free service, he said, I want to give you a car. How much? She said, about 1 million something. So he gave him the money. The guy went home with the money, threw the money in the bed, and started rolling on the money. God said, is that what you are becoming? Who gave you that money? Is that what you are becoming? You now have this money, you are rolling on it now. It's becoming your altar. He repented quickly. So, we're talking about money, money, big money. God's going to give you, but he's watching you. Intervene. How you handle him, how do you honor him in what you are doing now? Stop doing things for money alone. You will not have lasting customers. You will never have lasting customers. Just doing something. Do offer great services. It's called, if you see your card, they write goods and services, not bads and rip-offs. It's goods and services. That means you should make me feel good. Hallelujah. Make me feel good. When you offer me some service, make me feel. When I finish, I say, hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. If I'm worshiping Allah, I will say, Allah Akbar. Are you hearing me? Through your life. Am I making some sense this morning? I want to give it to you straight this morning. I don't want to mix anything up. So, honor God with your substance. With your. See, after that, let's keep reading. He threw the net after that word. He said, at your word I will. Pastor, how do you listen to God? Now listen to me. Let me show you how to listen to God. This is how. See, when you are in church like this and you are listening intently, in the same way, that idea will come to you like that, intently. When you listen to God, see, the amount of attention you give to God. I was talking about attentive soul yesterday. The same way we get back, it just puts an idea on you. It just fastens itself to you. It won't go away. But when you are casual with God, His voice will be casual in your life. If I send you text, you never read it, why should I not call you? Did you get what I just said? If I send you text, you never read it, why should I not call you? Because I'm going to call you based upon the text that I sent to you. Am I making some sense? Thank you. So, look at, and when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. Boy, plenty, am I right? Plenty overflowing, net breaking, boat sinking. But, can I warn you, verse 8, let's jump quickly, my time is running. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He never said, I'm not a wealthy man. I'm making it big. Glory to God. Just buy a car and be swinging the khaki. Look at next verse, quickly. And he and all who are with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they are taking. Next verse. And so also were James. Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. You know why you have to catch men? They have the money. Next verse. I'm not with that one. So when they had brought their boat to land, they did what? They what? What about the fish? What about the boat? What about the nets? Some of you, you can't get away from business. Do you know, you won't believe this. Every time I come to church, I want to close. I want to go home. I have things to do. Pastor, see, Pastor, I know you are looking at me one kind. No, I have time to, I have to spend time with God, read my Bible, and pray, kind of thing. So I come to church out of that. Like now, I'm here this morning, I'm really rebelling. I've not finished praying, I've not read my Bible. I want to be with God. So I come over here just out of. And I want to close, go back home. My real life is not what I do. It's who I am, a child of God, living in His presence. And that is not being a pastor. That's just being who I am. Are you so much attached to your business that all you think about is your business day and night? Business. Oh, I remember. When you are doing well, your mind is scattering. Oh, boy. Oh, I'm making money. Yeah. What can I buy? Or when you are not doing well, I'm tired. I don't know what's going on. Should I leave? Should I go to America? Should I go to UK? Should I go to Canada? Should I go to Japan? Should I go? When you make some money now. Oh, God. Huh? No. They're just stable. It's no longer holding you. Are you hearing me? That's why you can help others easily. You're no longer holding you. I'm sorry to tell you this. God will train you and see that money doesn't hold you before he gives you plenty of money. You can leave his training. Go to the world. Get them there. Do what they do. And when you get cancer, stay with them. And when marriage freezes up, stay with them. Don't say, oh God, they are Lagos plenty. All these rich cats. They will mess up they will go do their own thing, swallow something, drink something. Then when they knock on, we go to Babaribo, yeah, yo, I'm praying. First day, you see them, we show up first. Every first Friday, they are there. Why? Praise God. So I said this to you. If you want to see God to invite, honor God, regard him and defer to him. Now, let me now come down and I close like this. If you are going to honor God in proper way, your substance must be dear to you enough to offer God. If you notice in our church, I never make tithe and offering compulsory. I never demand tithe card. You know why? I don't want you to dishonor God with your bad gift of compulsion and struggle. And I say this to you anyway. If God has no input in your life, why should you collect tithe? I mean, come on now. If you're working somewhere, you have to say commission. If you want to work first, so can Rebecca. If you don't work, you won't get commission. So let's talk about this. How do you guarantee divine intervention? I want to close with that one. Let's go to Jacob. How many of you know Jacob in the Bible? All of you know Jacob in the Bible. Am I Jacob in the Bible? Good. Honoring God, but guaranteeing divine intervention. How can you be sure that God will intervene? That's a man of saying, Amio Jesu, Amio, out of fear, out of, you know, you can be sure that Allah will intervene. You can go and sleep. How can you make that happen? Number one, let me clear this one. Stop trusting in where you are going. To make things happen, like now, if someone says, I come and make dress with you and refuse to come, don't let it affect your mood. That, your trust is not in her. Your business is not living by her. It's living by God and yourself. So stop trusting in. And that also means this. You can increase school fees. They may want to go. They could go because we need to increase that school fees. You can't keep on living below school fees. Increase. Oh, we have trouble. I want my luck. Hold your whole luck. Because this is important. This is essential. You understand what I'm talking about now? You're no more driven by what everybody's pulling around you and say, you know. But Pastor, we cannot increase the goods. Who are you learning? You can't, if business 50,000 naira in the market, you got it for 60,000. You can't sell it for 60,000 now. You know, I'm for what you're learning now. But I don't mind that. I can't. Thank you, sir. I can't. See, that's what I'm talking about. Don't trust in the people you are going to. You are selling fabrics. Trust God that God will help you to sell the fabric, will help you to get the money. Stop thinking, oh, I want to come. Stop relying. That area is uncertain. You hear me? You cannot predict who will buy, who will sell from you. How many of you can predict? If you can wake up in the morning and predict who will buy from you and who will sell to you and where, how much will come that day, I'm a joiner. I hear it now. It's called one name, civil service. Where you can predict what will come in every month, salary is paid. But you know, that one is bad because 10 years, you get only $5,000 increase. Hallelujah. So, number one, stop depending on around you. That's the negative first. Let's go to the positive now. Jacob was working. Everybody listen over here now. Jacob was working under a very hard circumstance. Jacob was working with his mother, father-in-law. And you know, there's nothing as bad as doing relative business. Are you hearing me now? If you're working with your father, you can see salary increase. That is, you say, they make no be any. You know what I'm talking about? How do you secure? You know what? The man started asking him a question. He started changing his wages, changing his salary 10 times. And they will change things with you too. They will rewrite the contract. So you know what happened? The man said, okay, what can I do for you? Jacob said, give me my own in a corner from what you have. So I can develop it. How was he sure he would get the blessing there? How will he show? Do you know, at the end of the day, God was blessing Jacob's more than what his father-in-law was having. Thank God he separated a little bit. So what you are doing now is God blessing you. Maybe some of you are still working for father-in-law over here. Dakwa Biodun. And Atibu, you are still working for father-in-law. But have your own. How many of you have your own over here? You have your own. Yeah. Thank you. You're still working for father-in-law. Now, how did God bless that? Let's go back to what happened to him. Genesis 28. When he was running away and he went abroad. When he jackpot, hello, thank God for jackpot, you are lucky. Ujakpa. But Jack Payne was out of fear. Like, brother wanted to kill him and wanted to run away. Jack Payne was so bad that when he got to, he couldn't have enough to travel with. When he got to where he was sleeping, he was using stone as a pillow. Stone. Did you hear that? That means when I arrived at UK, parents telling him, I was in love. That means you get to the road and by the curb, you know what I call curb of the road, like the curb. He put his head on the curb to sleep. And while he slept there, he had a dream. In that dream, he saw a ladder. Listen, everybody. He saw what? A ladder. Brashola, what's a ladder for? I know you paint. You climb up height beyond yourself and come down on it. And you carry paint up and down. See, when I say, Brashola, come and paint here. First thing we say, my workers, where is the ladder? No ladder. You can be dreaming of that top over there. If you go down there, jump up, you come down. So the same way God is saying, I want to give you a ladder that will be transporting things up and down, and angels will be carrying things for you wherever you go. Now, see, when he was sleeping, the ladder was not linked to the area, it was linked to his head. The dream was not in the area, it was in his head. It was happening within him. So your ladder is between you and God, not between your area and God. Are you hearing me? In that ladder, he saw angels up and down. God said, I will multiply your seed. I will increase you. Now listen, everybody. When he woke up, he made the change for his future. He said, wait. I am not aware of this place. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Hear those two things. This is the house of God. What's the house of God? Not just the stone, himself. You are the house of God. You are the gate of heaven. God's going to pass things through your life, into your life. Somebody say amen to that. Now, he now made an allegiance. He made a pledge. Let's go down there. Genesis 28. How to guarantee your blessing. Genesis 28. Let me open there. It's toward the end of the chapter. Okay, good. Verse 18. Then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head, set up as a pillar, and poured oil on top of it. What did he say next? And he called, you know, that place Bethel, the house of God. You know, it had been loosed previously. Next verse. Then Jacob made a vow. This is a lifetime vow. If God will be with me and keep me in this way that I'm going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on. He made three allegiances to God. First one, what did he say? Then Jacob, no, next verse. So that I come back to my father's house in peace and prosperity. Then number one, then the Lord, it won't be only our God now, it will be my personal God. That means that nobody else will be over me to give me direction, to lead me around. Second one. And this stone, which I've set as a pillar, shall be God's house. Second one. Third one. And of all that you give me, I'll surely give a tenth to you. Are you hearing me? He made three vows. When Jacob's father-in-law was tormenting him, God said, you made a vow. I don't know how many times wrong. You made a vow for me at Bethel. Return there. Three vows. Number one, the Lord shall be my God, not our church God. My personal God. That means, like I said again, I will defer to him. I will regard him. I'll make him like they make family God in Edo State. They have family idol in Edo State. They have family idol. This is my own family idol. And you know the idol, my Bible. From there I can contact God. That where I got a friend, when he built his house, he built a room for God there. His God is his own God. What happened next? Three things. And then this house of God. Second one, that I'm going to belong to a house of God. I'm going to build the house of God. I'm going to make God's community viable wherever I am. How many of you have had ketchup? How many of you have ketchup was a Christian? He was a Sunday school teacher in his church all his lifetime. His factory burnt down. Second Sunday was church, teaching Sunday school. Are you hearing me? He belonged somewhere to serve God. He was not just all by himself. He was in the house of God. So second, he said, I will do something about the house of God. Third, I will take a tenth of my own and give it to God. Are you hearing me? So tenth, or 10% or tithe was never done by Moses. It was Jacob that did that. And it was not forced by anybody. But you know where I learned it from? Jacob met his grandpa for 15 years. Abraham. Are you hearing me? I hope you know that. Abraham lived for 175 years. He gave birth to Isaac at 100. Isaac married, had children. He had Jacob at age of 60. So 160, remaining 15 years, Abby. So 15 years, Jacob and Esau had dealings with Abraham. Did you remember that when the mother was having struggle about baby inside, she said, we went to go and meet God. Where? Abraham. Do you hear me? Bible called him. God said to him, God said to that man, that man is a prophet of God. Are you hearing me? So Abraham taught him this. Genesis 14. Let's go. Let me round up. Now, please, I am not collecting tithe. If you think I'm asking for your tithe, take it away. We have been doing well without it. Are we? You see, me, I'll tell the truth. I'm not looking for your money. I said, I don't have money problem. I told you already. So I don't think. If you don't bring my money, I don't. So I'm not looking for money. I'm talking about divine intervention, guaranteeing it. He swore. Three things. Number one, my God shall be my God. Second, the house of God will be my. You can't just throw him into church. Like I was saying last Sunday, you throw him into church, enjoy everything. You don't contribute there. I don't just do it financially. What are you doing in church? What are you doing for God? What are you doing in the house of God? I mean, consistently and regularly, not once in a while. Hallelujah. Let's close. Let's be Genesis 14. Genesis 14. Genesis 14, I wish I had time to teach you on this one. When you open Genesis 14, you see the battle of the nations. And that's what's going on now. What you are seeing going on now is battle of the nations in the world today. Resources are looking for America, Russia, Ukraine, all that things, battling for resources. In the midst of that battles, listen, there'll be captives. Your uncle that lost his job is battle of the nation that lost the job. In those days, they'll go and battle physically and attack themselves. But in these battles now, it's a battle of warfare, of computer and chips and industry and AI. Are you hearing me? Sometimes you see a whole set of industry just wiped out because one country has made something else. You know, they told Bill Gates, he said, what are you afraid of? Bill Gates said, my greatest fear is one boy right now in his father's garage that will invent a new computer that will make Microsoft Windows useless. Are you hearing me? Now, all of you can write a book now. Just get AI and tell them, I want a book written in Abeokuta that would make my story better. Can you come? Okay. Assignments. 3 days later, you get a book as big as this. And don't put your name on it. Put AI on it. I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine you plan to do a program for your work and then they call you, you just put the AI. This will happen to Shobo. What do we do over there? I give you all the breakdown and everything. And then all the money that we spent, bring them to the cupboard. You just pull out the thing and go use it and then make your money and go back to where you have to go to. So that would be very nice. AI. You know? So Abraham there'll be captivity in that mind. People will be captured. People will be dealt with. We are living in the economy that is destroying people. I told you, what is inflation? I told you, what is inflation? Systematic destruction of wealth. They are eliminating wealth of people today. And you know what Abraham's brother, or is he nephew now? Or what do you call it now? Lot. Is he nephew? I don't know. Nephew Abraham. Lot was captured by that battle of the nations. I want to show you as I close how to guarantee your own divine intervention. Ratito, I'm sorry, I'm taking too much time. You know what? The moment they told Abraham that Abraham, Lot has been captured with his wife and family. He never said, "Ko come here." Moshe funa ko to lo gomora. Ila ye lo fi se yeye. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? He got up, took his own army, trained in his house to go and fight. Are you hearing me? We are talking about the tithing foundation. The tithing foundation was not founded in church, where we just sit down and said, 10% money. It was founded in the battle of the nations. Go home and read it. And they were fighting. And they called Abraham for the first time, Hebrew. Have you ever heard Hebrew before? Hebrew? The word Hebrew from above. I will open heaven's window over you. So, when they told Abraham, he went to go and fight. After fighting and secure his brother and secure his wife and his children, he was on his way coming back. You see, Lot went to try and get rich by the environment and the command. He looked at Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a very nice place. So he said, "I'm going to pitch my tent there." He never knew what would happen there. So his wealth sustained by the environment. And when they grabbed the environment, it was finished, like Nigeria now. But Abraham's word, look at the last verse in Genesis 14. Give it to me quickly, the last two verses. Quickly. My time is running. "That I will take nothing." Did you hear that? "I will take nothing from a thread to a sandal strap. And I will not take anything that is yours." Let's just say, guess who was talking to him? A whole king. Today, the Papa don't call you and said, "I want to offer you some. I want to give you some leverage." What will you do? "Ah, you meet daddy. That's what's killing you." Say, I won't take anything from you. So I can sleep well. You know what? I can preach what I want in church because I'm not under anybody's thumb. I'm free. Praise God. You don't like me? The door is open. I'm not under any elder or anything. You know, it happened to me years ago when I started church. I had some people that want to be around me. They want to be elder over me. They gaba. I sack all of them. Before you came. Before you came. That's how Project Head came in. They gang up against me. Prof just had. He said, "Reverend, I want to come and see you." They gang up against you. I said, "No problem. Call the meeting." That's why they see them around the meeting today. Some other people have left. I said, "Hey, how about sit down? You are sacked because if you don't have a seat, you can't even sit down in the first place." So I removed the seat. Nobody will say, "I do something that I'm going to put you." And don't let your company be under anybody. Are you hearing me? Don't let anybody say, "Mama raise there, Mama capitalize there." Be okay with a small letter and build it up yourself. Are you hearing me? One day the uncle will call you and say, "Whoa, Ilie, Ishe, Yahweh." He'll just call you one day and say, "Money that woman for me." If he raises you, he'll just say, "Molo come for me." Uncle, he'll be more financial now. Tunde is here with his wife. They do things. All over. Nobody telling them, "Don't spend that money, don't spend that." Because they have money. Not somebody else telling them, "Uncle, go with $10 million. Ah, majority the money. But during the time, after any seat, after any yahoo, after any lomo." So, nobody will say, "I made Abraham rich." I want to say your future. Nobody's making me rich. The country's not making me rich. God is doing that. That's the end I read to you. Let's look at the beginning. You see, after he rescued his brother, he was coming back. While he was coming back, somebody met him, the king of Sodom. But then, a man called Melchizedek, king of righteousness and king of Salem, the priest of the Most High God, and he was carrying bread and wine. He was not asking for money. What was he carrying? Bread and wine. And he gave to Abraham bread and wine, and he blessed him. After he blessed him, come and see what happened next. My time is up. Let's go. Genesis 14. That's what Jacob learned from his father or grandfather. Genesis 14. Are you there? Look at verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Next verse. And he blessed him. Remember I told you the blessing at the beginning? Remember I told you the blessing? That curse already here. Curse already here. You can't remove the curse from this planet until Jesus comes. In fact, this ground is so cursed. This heart is so cursed that God can't repurpose it. He will destroy it at the end of the day and give us a new heaven and a new heart. It's beyond repair. We're just managing it. Are you hearing me? Like your car. We're just managing it. Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, President of heaven and earth. Next verse. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemy to your hand, and he gave him a tithe of everything. Now, wait. While Abraham was giving the tithe, King Sodom looked at him and said, you are losing. Can I give you some property? He said, don't ever do that. The God I gave to can take care of me. He won't say, I make you rich. In my younger days, when I take out money for God, I count it as a loss. When I help people, they are draining me. That's where I see it. But now as I grow older, I came to see that, in fact, I'm amplifying my life. And that makes me not to depend on anybody more, because God is in charge of our life now. So if you start doing this for God, anybody say, I will stop your business in this land, just laugh. Why? They can't stop you. Because who is behind you is more than those who are with them. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Are you hearing me? If they refuse that contract to you, you have no reason to go home and be sleepless and be sleepless and be crying for 7 days. You have no reason, because your father God knows how to take care of you. But you have guarantee with him. That's why, any of you over here, can you tell me that I came to come and tell you to come to church by force? Nobody over here. Have I invited anybody to church and said you must be in church? I never did. Why? I leave that to God. I'll do my possible best and serve God and serve his house and give my money to God. Leave the rest to God. He'll take care of us. I got a guarantee. Praise God, somebody. Is that all right? That's why I never comment you are going abroad or you are coming abroad or you are staying. I never comment. You are going. I say, God bless you. Safe journey. Are you hearing me? You are serving in church. God bless you. Safe journey. Bye. But I will never depend on you. I won't put everything on your life. Are you hearing me? Because you are too small for me to rely on you. Start hearing me. See, it's too small for you to rely. You are too big to rely on her. I mean, family, school, how can you not rely on her? Even your husband or your wife, they are too small for you to rely on them. Hello, are you hearing me? Are you hearing me, somebody here? So, build up your reliance on God. This God shall be my God. I will participate in his house and I'll give tithe of everything to God. Are you hearing me? And then God now said this in Malachi 3. He said, Edamiwo. Am I right? Malachi 3 verse 10. Let me make you laugh. My brother, he used to be in OGTV years ago. Dimeja. How many of you know Dimeja Woyemi? OGTV. So you're all JJC in town. So come, you don't know brother Dimeja Woyemi? Maybe you don't. He was a popular person OGTV years ago. I think he's abroad now. One day he came to me and he said, Pastor, mon tight, boko yo. I said, fine, go on appeal. You know appeal court? I said, go to God. You know what I said? I said, go to God. God said, Edamiwo. I said, go to God, go with your fact, Oluwa, mon tight. Hey, pass the exam, you. You go meet him. I said, prove me, am I right? So you should prove God. God, I've been doing this. And I'm not saying this. Oluwa, when I take my tithe now, I'm not just paying it. I'm proving God. I'm testing God. God, oh yeah, enter exam hall. If you pass, everybody will hear. If you fail, the world will hear. Are you hearing me? And by the way, God, if you don't pass, I won't only tell myself, I tell other people too. I will bad your reputation. Are you hearing me? Malachi 3, verse 10, let's close. Bring all the tithe into the storehouse. Now, go back to verse 9. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. See, that word curse doesn't mean God was cursing them. No, the curse already here. The curse already here. I mean, gravity is already here. If you don't apply anything else, you're going down. Some of you are just swimming with 10%. Of course, I'm going beyond 10%. Are you hearing me? You've seen how good this is. We're going beyond 10%. Teba kareluwa. Let me say that. Teba kareluwa. Ile asu. Ile amon. Of course, I like that. I don't like to expose people over here. They've taken money and built a whole building for God. They've taken students, even Muslim, and sponsored them through school. And if you see them, they are regular guys. One of us told me, he said, anytime somebody has a need, call me. I said, what? That I cannot handle myself. So I say, 140K for the missionary's house strength, you transfer it. 1 minute, you do that. You won't blink. And I know he's not making money like as if he's a billionaire. Well, they've committed themselves that God will have to come to my rescue. Pastor, the way you are talking, are you buying the blessing of God? Let me close with that. Luke 7.
Are you buying the blessing the way you are talking? I mean, it's grace, but we're not grace, but we're not grace.
Of course, we have enough to make us bad. Luke 7. Let's close. Are you blessed today? No, we are not blessed, man. They are taking our money away. Luke 7. Are we there? Hallelujah. Are you with me? Or you have gone home? Okay, verse 1. Beautiful. Let's close. No, I didn't finish that Malachi 3. I'll come back then there, but I hope I finish and then close. My time is really gone. Now, when he concluded all these sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum. That's Jesus. Next verse. And a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was what? Wait, was the man sick himself? Answer me. Was he sick himself? Who was sick? His servant, dear to him. Not even his family member. I mean, servant. What happened next? So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. Must be a nice soldier. Must be a nice man. To go and beg Jesus to come and heal his servant. I'm talking about rescuing Lot, remember? Rescuing Lot. Doing everything for cousins, steps. You know? Look at next verse. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him. Who came to Jesus? Who? The elders. They begged him how? Saying that one for whom he should do this was what? They were saying, Jesus, he's guaranteed to bless. You're going to have to do this. Are you hearing me? He was deserving. I mean, you can deserve the blessing of God. Not just because I'm out here by Kumpotube. Oh, Gideon is transferred. But when they transfer the money, big money. What's deserving? Why? Look at next verse. For he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. Remember again, the house of God. Remember that? Next verse. Then Jesus went with them. I don't want to say some things that are touchy. That you wake up in the morning and say, somebody must not go home without food. Must not sleep without food that night. You must be committing yourself to some people, to some life, to some issues, some situations. So that God can't let your business run down because people's lives are on it. If it's you alone now, we can let it run down now. Everybody can run it. But when people are, when 10, 5, 10 people are, am I the call? Are you hearing me? No problem. Just want to pay your school fees, pay your children's school fees. Live good. That's all right. But Prof didn't start it like that. Let me tell you where I started from. Years ago, when we were at Anamutuari, we just had that wall. Remember that place? Before we picked up the building now, remember? It was back of the building we had. And we had this tent that time. Remember, we covered it up with the floor. And then we have this wood all over the place. Prof came and said, they are talking about giving me a grant to go to Japan. And I want to give to God. I just want to bless the Lord. I want to go to Japan, but I want to bless the Lord. So he gave us money to do all the painting. And the Japan thing didn't work out. That's a test from God. That's a test. Sometimes you do things like God just bam, won't work. God will say, we can't do business with this one. God will say, I feel like Kuramalo. Hope you learn something today. Hallelujah. Can we pray? Can we get on our knees and say, Lord, I want to honor you. I know how difficult things are. I know how hard it is to run business in this world today. Particularly in Nigeria, it's a crazy place. But Lord, I want to honor you. Teach me how to honor you. I want to be like Jacob. I want to be like Abraham. Show me how to honor you with my possessions. And Lord, I'm open to your correction. I don't want to go the way everybody's going. I don't want to be in lack and in shortage, running things down, having bad reputation in town, not keeping my promises, breaking things up. I need you to work with me. So I'm regarding you. I'm giving you your place. And show me how to honor you with my life and my possession. And Father, I will not forget. Like Jacob made his vow, I will not forget that you are the source of all this. And I know you'll do me good. And things are going to get better. But remind me continually that you are my source. And I can depend on you. I choose to honor you today. In my little way, I choose to honor you. And I give you glory. And I give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can sit up. Remember, we're going to have our food now. You know, I didn't finish about Melchizedek, remember? About he brought bread and wine to. And then Bible said later that God ordained Christ as a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And who brings us bread and wine? Jesus. Communion. Notice that. Great. Beautiful. All right. Ratito, you have any question, anything you want us to discuss? Go ahead. You can ask any question. You know, the Americans, this is what they did. I want John D. Rockefeller. They had foundation. You know where that money we're getting today to run hospital in Nigeria? They were the big guys that were making money those days. Like John D. Rockefeller was around 45 years old in America. Big metal money. Was making so much money and he got sick with ulcer and he was dying on the hospital bed. While he was dying, just hold on a minute. Just hold on there. Thank you. Let me finish this. Just hold on there. While he was dying on the bed, he said, what am I going to do now? I'm dying. He had so much money. Then he remembered. Either the mother or some school teacher said, give 10% to God of this money. So he said, I was in the school. I'm dying anyway. Let me start giving the money. So he started giving the money. And amazingly, he lived to 96 years old. He had money so much. You can see that you go to all these universities, they have Rockefeller foundations. The man started pushing money all over Western third world, putting raising things, hospitals, universities, grant. They are still living on that grant now. The children, they are living on the money. So Kabbalah do up. Then they can take us. And don't worry about what you are feeling right now, what you are going through now. Those things are not, they are not what you are, they are not reality. It's your companionship with God that matters here. And take a step from there. Are we blessed today? Thank you. If you have any questions, go ahead. Let's have the food.